Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are finally finishing out our sermon series called Walking with Jesus. And over the last 16 weeks, we've looked at key points to Jesus' ministry and journey, and we have seen how Jesus, he is fully human. He was hungry, he was tired, he cried, he celebrated with friends and family, he was tempted to sin. He lived in this broken world with broken people. But we also have looked at how Jesus is fully God as well. Jesus showed the world that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing, and that he can do the impossible. And through this series, we have had one point to make. So over the last 16 weeks, if you have been watching the sermons or listening to them, and you don't get anything from this but one point, it's going to be this. Jesus is real. We have to know that he lived here. He was born on this earth. He lived a life like we do. And then he died here. And before Jesus was going to die, Jesus told his followers and disciples over and over what was going to happen. Jesus knew that he was going to be put on trial, that he was going to be accused falsely, that he would be beaten and mocked, and that he would be nailed on a cross until he draws his last breath. And that is everything that we talked about last week. So we're not going to go over too much the death of Christ today, and that's because we're talking about what happens next. But if you did not catch what's happening and what happened with the death of Christ, I would urge you go back and check out our last sermon, and you can hear all about what happened there. But last week, we ended with verses from Matthew 27, and the Jewish leaders wanted to make sure that they stopped this Jesus, that they ended him once and for all. They knew that Jesus was claiming that he would rise from the dead in 3 days, and the Jewish leaders wanted to make sure that there was no way that the followers of Jesus could fake a miracle, that they could make this happen. So the Jewish leaders, they went to the Romans and they said, hey, seal up the tomb where Jesus' body is going to be, and then we want you to guard it. And so they put some guards at the tomb as well. And this was all to make sure that no one came and took the body of Jesus. And that's where we ended last week. Jesus, who many have claimed is the Messiah, the Savior, that he is the one that was promised by God to save mankind. What we have here is he is dead. They saw Jesus breathe his last breath. They wrapped his lifeless body in cloth, and then they carried his body into a tomb where Jesus would be laid to rest. And then it's over. Jesus is dead, and there's nothing that anyone can do to change that. We cannot change what happened. Now, if you do not know what Easter is for Christians, it's a time where we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, we all love the peanut butter eggs and the jelly beans, but that's not the reason that we celebrate. I'm going to tell you now, with the internet, you can get those all year long, all right? You don't even have to wait anymore. But the reason that we celebrate is because God's Son, he chose to die for us. Jesus was pure, holy, and without sin. Jesus walked, talked, and went through this life on this earth without sinning at all. And then when the time came, Jesus said, I will die and sacrifice myself for you, for me, and every single person on this earth. We have to understand what that means when I say every single person. This is for those who were born before Jesus, to those that will be born many, many years from now till the end of time on this earth. He chose to be the sacrifice for all sin, to cover all sins. Those things that we do wrong against God, Jesus paid that price. A harsh reality is, as people, we do terrible things. We hurt others. We're selfish. We do things against God. We have corrupted this creation of what God has made with our sin. And because we choose sin, what that's doing is it's separating us from God. We made this giant space between us and him. And God wants to be with us. But the problem is, there's nothing that we can do as people to get back to God. We cannot pray enough to get back to God. We cannot do enough good deeds to earn his grace. I don't care if you have served thousands of hours helping those in need, that is not what saves you. You cannot restore your relationship with God yourself. There's only one thing that can bring us back to God. And the only way to do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to follow in His ways, to be baptized in your belief in Jesus, because Jesus paid the price for your personal sin. Jesus said, "I'm going to die for you in your place." Why? So that you can be with God again, that you can have a relationship with God again. But Easter is not when we celebrate the death of Jesus. Jesus' death is actually celebrated on what we call Good Friday, which is the Friday that has just passed, and that's the Friday before Easter. And yes, I said celebrating his death. It seems morbid and weird, because if you were to tell people, by the way, this Friday we are celebrating the death, people are going to go, nope, I don't want to be a part of that. That's weird. I don't want to do that. But the truth is, his death was more than just a death. It was all part of God's plan for us. His death is what saves us. Jesus wasn't captured out of nowhere and killed. Jesus is God. He chose to die. He chose to be beaten. He chose to be humiliated. And then he chose to be hung on a cross till he breathed his last breath. Remember that. It was all by choice. Jesus could have easily called down armies of angels to wipe us all out, which we deserve. But he knew that he had to die for us. And it was all because of one thing, because he loves us. If we were to end the story here, where Jesus hung on the cross and we put his body in a tomb, and that was it, it would be a very sad story. But that's not the end of the story. We're going to talk about what happens next. And what happened next is that Jesus showed us that he is God, that he has power over literally everything. Because Jesus did die, and his death covers our sins, but then Jesus comes back, and he says, "I told you I'd do it." And that's where we're going to start. So we're going to start in Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. It says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." So here we start off with some of the women who knew Jesus personally. Some of these women, they were there when he breathed his last breath. They witnessed it all. They saw their Lord and Savior dead. On this morning, there was a group of women who loved Jesus, who were headed to where Jesus' body was, and they were taking spices, to Jesus' body. And when they get there, the stone was rolled away that was in front of Jesus' tomb. And when they looked inside of it, Jesus' body is gone. They had no clue what was happening. They were like, "What? It's empty. Where did his body go?" And then it says that two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them out of nowhere. So you have to put yourself in this scenario, okay? You saw Jesus die. You've heard everything he said. You go to the tomb. It is open. You're wondering where his body went. And then all of a sudden, two guys show up out of nowhere, and it says that they're gleaming like lightning. For obvious reasons, the women were afraid. They were like, "This is not normal, okay? I've never seen this before. I'm not sure what's happening here." But these men then talk to the women, and they say, "Why are you here? Why are you looking for someone who is alive in a place for the dead? That makes no sense." They say, "He's not here. He is risen." And then they tell them, remember how Jesus told you this while he was still with you? He talked about it over and over again. And Jesus spelled it out for his followers. He said, "I'm going to be handed over to sinners. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to have all these things happen to me that I do not deserve, but it's okay. It's part of the plan. And then guess what? On the third day, I'm coming back, baby. I'm rising from the grave." And it's so interesting because these women, They did not come to see if what Jesus had said was true. It's not that they're going, he's alive, we're going to see an empty tomb. That's not what happened. Nobody actually thought that Jesus was going to come back after he died. They thought, Jesus is dead, it's over. That's it for him. But this was just the beginning to prove that Jesus is God and that he's alive, that he's all-powerful, and that he can even conquer death. So the women, they come back from their trip from seeing Jesus' tomb, and they're around the disciples there, and they start talking about what happened and what they saw. And again, these were other people who knew Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They heard the exact same words that Jesus had said, that he would be back in 3 days. And so as the women are telling them, the disciples, they do not believe the women. For the most part, none of them even gave it second thought. They weren't like, is it true? Like, are they talking truth here? No, more than likely, this is how this played out. The women came in all excited, and they're talking about what's happening, and the guys are sitting there going, sure, that's what happened. Whatever you say, ladies. I already know if it was in today's age, because we know it was early in the morning, as soon as they came back, and they started spouting this stuff off, I can hear it now. Whoa, I haven't had my coffee yet, okay? Give me a minute. Let me wake up because I'm pretty sure you're talking crazy at the moment. But one of the disciples named Peter, he had to see. And it says that Peter ran to Jesus' tomb. He needed to know. And so when he got there, he saw the strips of cloth that were left and nothing else that was there. But he still did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. It just says that he was left wondering to himself. It's that thought process of, could this be true? Can I come up with something else that makes more sense? Like, can I put the pieces together? Could Jesus really be back? No. That's crazy, right? There's no way. Let's keep reading verses 13 through 35. Yeah, 13 through 35. And it says here, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. And saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So this is such an interesting prospect. We don't get a lot of stories like this, but we have all wanted to know what people really think about us and what they're really saying about us, to be that fly on the wall, to know what they really think in a private conversation, because what they say to you is not usually the same thing that they would say to someone else when they're talking about you. Well, Jesus is back, and they're kept from recognizing him. And the things they said about Jesus was this. They said he was a prophet, he was powerful in word and deed, and then they say, we had hoped he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. What they're saying is, we had hoped He'd be the one to save us. We had hoped he would be the one to bring us back to power, but now he's dead. He's been dead for 3 days. But they even say, some of the women, they went to the tomb of Jesus and his body was gone. And the women said that they saw these angels and the angels said that Jesus is alive. Now, obviously, the disciples were not saying this in a tone of amazement, that the women had told them something that was true. They weren't saying it like this. Oh, yeah, and then there were angels there, and the women were talking about how amazing it was, and Jesus is alive. We should all celebrate. It's amazing. Praise God. That's not what they said at all. And we know this because of what Jesus says to them next. He looks at them and he goes, how foolish are you? How slow to believe everything that was foretold, that the Messiah would have to suffer before he could enter into his glory. And he started explaining the whole Bible to them about what had to happen. And these men, they still have no clue who this is. Who's talking to them? They then invite this person who they thought was a stranger into their home because it was getting late. And Jesus then reveals who he is, but only for a second. It's not long. And at this point, only a few of the followers have actually physically seen Jesus. They have witnessed firsthand that he is alive. You would think with this, just this part here, it would be enough proof that Jesus has conquered death. That you could be screaming, he did it! It's real! That we could be saying, wow, everything he said has come true. But sadly, that's not the case still. And we're going to read verses 36 through 49. Verses 36 through 49, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So they still doubted. They see Jesus right in front of them, just as you see me. And they think, there's no way that Jesus is actually alive, so he must be a ghost. That's easier. How sad is it? It's actually easier for them to believe a ghost of Jesus is standing in front of them instead of Jesus actually being back. It's because that thought process for us is almost impossible, that death was truly conquered. But Jesus says, guys, come on. I'm not a ghost. It's me. Look where the nails went into my body. Into my hands, into my feet. He says, you can touch me. You can still see me. I'm right here. But they didn't fully understand and they couldn't believe it. But this time, it says that they did not believe and it was because of amazement. Almost like that moment where something miraculous happens and you just keep saying, no way. Like, did this really happen? No way. I can't believe it. Is this truly happening? Am I seeing this? Is this real? This is impossible, but I'm seeing it and it is amazing. And it was true. Jesus was back. And he solidified it by showing everyone that he's really there, that he's alive. And he says to them, bring me some food. And it specifically says that he takes a fish and it says that he ate it in front of them. Why would they put that in there? And it's because he was still showing them that he's real. He has this fish, and I just picture he's like, it's good. You know, like, I can eat fish. I don't, if you don't know, ghosts don't eat, and they wouldn't choose fish. But he's saying, I'm here. Look at me eat food. Through all of this, we really do see that Jesus has all the love and patience in the world for us. He is doing everything to show them that he is back from the dead, just like he said would happen. And Jesus says to them next, but this is where everything changes. My death and the resurrection, it has happened just like I told you would happen. The exact way that it was written hundreds and thousands of years ago, it all has come true. We're not done, though. This is not the end. He says, now it is time to repent for the forgiveness of your sins. To repent means to turn away from the things that you are doing that are wrong, to walk away from them. And Jesus changes their thinking a little bit, though. He says, but guess what? I want you to understand, this is not just for you, the Israelites. This is not just for the Jews. This is not just for God's chosen people. Jesus says, this is for all nations. Jesus tells them, I died for everyone. I rose from the dead for everyone. For non-Christians, Easter is something very different. It's nothing to do with what we talked about today. Some say it's about a bunny. Some say it's about candy. Some say it's about family. But one thing a lot of people talk about when you ask, what is Easter? What does it mean to people who are not followers of Christ? Is that they will say things like this. Easter is about renewal. Easter is about the spring bringing new life. It's about that change because we're into a new season. And I know personally, that change of season, it feels so good. You're finally getting out of the cold. You get to walk outside, breathe some fresh air. When the wind blows, it doesn't sting your face. You know what I'm talking about. It gets bad. But when you walk outside and spring is coming, oh, it can be invigorating. You can be filled with just joy in life. The sun is beating on you. You're like, oh, it's beautiful, Lord. And what amazes me is that this is exactly what we celebrate as followers of Christ for Easter. It's just on a deeper level. It's about bringing of new life. Jesus rising from the dead and how we are changed because of his sacrifice. We get to have a different kind of renewal. With Jesus' death, we can be washed clean of all that muck and dirt that we call sin. And we can be made into something new. And when Jesus came back to life, he brought us out of the cold and out of the darkness. And it is the best thing that has ever happened to this world. I want you to know it is the best thing that has ever happened for me. It's personal. Jesus came back from the dead for me. And because of it, God is showing us all he is victorious and he cannot be stopped. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're saying, I don't believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He won. He did it. He's Lord over all. As people, we know death is final, that death is the end. And Jesus said, you know what? That can't even hold me down. It's not going to stop me. And the sad truth is that many will doubt Jesus' return. Today, we do not get to have Jesus just pop up in our living room and say, guys, I'm here and it's real. Okay, that's not normally what happens. I want to put a disclaimer out there. God can do anything. And so if that happens to you, please just slowly slide out your phone and bring it up and record Jesus popping in your living room. Okay, because I need to see that. But that's not the norm. So what's he doing? How's he getting the word out? How is he spreading the truth about who he is? He's sending us, those that do believe. He's sending us to show people the truth, to love these people, to teach them, to serve them. But we need to have patience while doing this. Think about it. Jesus appeared to his closest friends and followers. He talked with them. He gave scripture to them. He even went as far to physically prove it twice to them. And they just doubted over and over and over again, and they could not believe it. But he never stopped because of how important it is for us to understand what this means. I'm going to tell you right now, this is just a simple truth. I'm going to throw it out there. Jesus is real. Jesus is all-powerful. And most importantly, Jesus is alive. And guess what? He wants you. He wants you personally. And he wants you to choose him over anything else this world has to offer. You know why? Because he gave up everything on this earth for you. He did it for you. I can tell you that Jesus was not always my champion. I tried to make so many other things the most important thing in my life. Whether it was the pursuit of money and comfort, Whether it was, I'll pour everything I have into my family. Well, you know what? It's all about having a good time and fun. I'm going to tell you, all those things, they failed me. They left me unfulfilled. They made me wanting something more. I've been hurt. I've been let down. And ultimately, I was completely lost. The only thing that truly changed my life was when I found out the truth about Jesus Christ. The reason I love Easter so much is because it's a great opportunity to share what I believe to those who don't know, to tell them about how I am saved, how Jesus is God's Son, how He died and rose again for me. Not because I deserve it. It's all because He loves me. He saved me. And the most amazing part is He saved all of you as well. All you have to do is accept Him. Accept this truth. Know it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Go and be baptized and follow Him. So my challenge is going to be a twofold, different sides. If you do not have a relationship with God, my challenge for you is keep seeking it. Ask someone about who Jesus is. Pick up this Bible. And if you say you don't have one, ooh, I swear, I will give it away for free. Take a Bible. Start reading the Gospels. That means go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what Jesus did. Start asking people about what this book is really saying if you don't understand it. Truly seek those answers because life is hard. There is so much pain and hurt that this world has to offer you. And I'm telling you, with God, there is hope through the pain. For those of you who already have a relationship with Christ, my challenge to you is to ask God, pray, where would you like me to spread the news of your Son, Jesus, about His death and resurrection? We have to know it's for all. That means we need to be the ones to go out and tell others. So next week, we're going to go a little further into that. So we've done 16 weeks of following Jesus through His life, through His ministry. We get to see that Jesus is real. We saw now that He has died and that it covers our sins. We've seen that He's been resurrected, but then Jesus goes away. And what happens is we're standing here going, now what? And that's literally the sermon series for next month. It's called, well, now what? Because we got to figure out, what do we do? Jesus was here before and He was pushing us along. This is where you go. This is what you do. Now He's left. What do we do? And it's going to be all about how we can follow God in our lives, even though He's not standing right next to us. We need to devote ourselves to Him and His ways. And we are to go out and spread the news to everyone.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.